The next presenter is Maggie Mahoney, who is a staff attorney with the Public Health Law Center at William Mitchell College of Law, and also the deputy director of the Tobacco Control Legal Consortium, which is a network of legal centers supporting tobacco control policy change in the U.S. The title of her talk is A Local Tobacco Control Making a Difference.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. When we first started the series of presentations and I was sitting in the front, the room was not nearly as full as it is now, and it's really exciting to see that there are so many people here. And just so that I have a sense of where you're from, I'm wondering if I can just see a show of hands of how many people in the room currently work in tobacco control, which would explain why you're here. There are a lot of you. How many of you used to work in tobacco control in Mystic Greatly? Okay. And then for those of you who are currently working in tobacco control, I guess I'd be interested in knowing how many of you come from it from a research perspective? Okay, so a good portion of you. How about I know we've had a couple of federal speakers, but how many of you do come from the federal environment? Okay, so a handful. And then how about policy work? How many of you are doing policy work? Okay, great, thanks. I'm going to give you just a little bit of information about our organization, just so that you have some context about why I am up here before you today. As you know, I'm an attorney with the Tobacco Control Legal Consortium, which is a national network of legal centers working on issues related to tobacco and health. We're kind of a smaller organization, although we're growing a little bit, where we've got about six people in our office in St. Paul, Minnesota, at the Public Health Law Center that provide technical assistance throughout the country to states that don't have their own legal center that exists to help them with their tobacco control efforts. And there are some folks here from other legal centers and from the legal community who we work with regularly in our tobacco control efforts to kind of help expand the reach of our network. So the sort of work that we do is we help with research and analysis of different tobacco control laws, and then just laws within a particular jurisdiction that might impact your tobacco control efforts. We help advocates in the public health community and individuals draft laws and policies that they're wanting to pursue in tobacco control, help them think about what might be the best policy option for them to achieve a goal and help them get there. And then since so many of you are in the tobacco control community, you know that when you have some sort of meaningful tobacco control effort, the tobacco industry will sue, and that is a given. And so what we do is we provide litigation support to the governmental attorneys that are helping defend policy, or we might help submit a brief called a friend of the court brief in cases. So in the pending federal litigation, we've submitted friend of the court briefs to help support the government's position. And then a lot of what we do is provide education and training as well. So you see us at conferences and you see our materials. A lot of what we do is one-on-one individualized technical assistance in trying to help people pursue their goals. And so I guess I'd also be interested in knowing how many of you know of us, my organization, from a technical assistance perspective. Okay, great. And how many of you have actually received technical assistance from us? Oh, good. So, thank you. I'm glad you're here. So, some of what we do with respect to the our analysis and our educational efforts is we work on issues related to the Tobacco Control Act that we've been talking about this morning. And these are up on the screen, two summaries that we prepared long ago. When the act was first passed, we did a summary of the law for the public health community to understand what the law, the Tobacco Control Act, actually does. And then we also prepared a publication that talks about how it actually affects what's happening at the state and local level. And these are on our website, which is thepublichealthlawcenter.org. We've got a whole collection of materials related to federal regulation of tobacco. And we heard that when the Center for Tobacco Products was first staffing up, that these materials were actually used to train people at the Center for Tobacco Products who were just coming in because they were starting up from scratch and didn't have much to go from. So just, you know, in thinking about how federal regulation works and how it impacts your state and local efforts, before 2009, before the Act passed, this is kind of the world of tobacco control, that a lot happened at the state level, a lot was happening at the local level, and that was pretty much it, because as Ashley said, that there was no federal regulatory authority for tobacco control until 2009. This is kind of how we see tobacco control now, that there's a federal component to tobacco regulation, and state and local still have their traditional authorities in many respects, and there's a little bit of overlap between the two. And this is kind of where we would like to go as somebody who's engaged at the state and local level and also trying to help at the federal level as well. So in thinking about how we get there, I wanted to explain a little bit about what how the Tobacco Control Act affects what's happening at the state and local level, and or doesn't affect what's happening at the state and local level, and also talk about ways in which you can actually become more engaged in the federal regulatory process if you're so inclined, or at least to know more about it so that you're an informed tobacco control person. So as Ashley had mentioned, there are some ways in which the law expands state and local authority, there are some ways in which it limits state and local authority, and then there are actually many ways in which the Federal Tobacco Control Act does not change the authorities that you have at the state and local level. And just so you know, here I have it as the FDA law, we call it the FDA law or the Tobacco Control Act, we go back and forth between the two, so not to confuse it, I'm talking about the same thing. So the main expansion of authority at the state and local level with the passage of the Act is that before 2009, state and local governments could not pass any sort of requirement with respect to the advertisement or promotion of cigarettes, any requirement that was based on concerns about health, which would be many, right? So now the Act kind of opens up a little doorway for state and local governments to pass time, place, and manner restrictions on the advertising and promotion of tobacco products. And that's a change of federal law, but you still have First Amendment concerns, and we have a bunch of materials that kind of help explain what we think this means. This is still pretty uncharted territory. There have been some efforts at the state and local level to try to figure out what to do in this respect, and of course the tobacco industry is challenging anything that we're doing, so we'll just see how this plays out. But we do have some resources on our website that try to help explain this more for you if this is something that you're interested in. There are some limitations on state and local authority that are imposed by the Act. So state and local governments cannot regulate the content or the format of the warning labels that appear on packages or in advertisements. That's something that's reserved to the federal government. Also, state and local governments can't set any product standards. So they can't say nicotine levels need to be at a certain level in a state. That's something that's reserved to the federal government as well. The one thing, there is an exception that state and local governments can have fire safe standards. So they can set standards for like if you have a cigarette and it's unattended, that it will automatically go out after a certain amount of time to help reduce house fires and things like that. But as you can see here, there are a number of ways in which state and local authority is unchanged, which is why when I showed the map of the circles with state and local authority, you can see that we still think that those are relatively unchanged large areas for state locals to be working in. So state and local governments still can regulate the sale and distribution of tobacco products, and the federal government can do that too, but state and local governments can do that. State and local governments can deal with taxes, you can pass smoke-free and tobacco-free laws, require certain reporting of information to your state, deal with smuggling issues, and then just do a lot of best practices in tobacco control, such as focusing on cessation, focusing on program funding and things like that. So there are a lot of ways in which things have not changed in tobacco control since the passage of the Act. We have a website here. Here's a screenshot of it. The Public Health Law Center is our main organization. The Tobacco Control Legal Consortium is a program of the Public Health Law Center. And then we have a specific project where we're focusing just on federal regulation of tobacco because we feel that there needs to be more of an exchange between what is happening at the state and local level and what's happening at the federal level so that we can have a bigger, so those arrows in the quiver, as Ashley put it, are actually all being used. And so with this project, a lot of what we are trying to do is trying to help inform the public health community about what the federal government is doing. There are things that haven't been communicated as clearly as we think they could be communicated about what's been happening, and there are a lot of things, well, even like the regulations, as Kathy was talking about, where you have just pages and pages of pages of things that the FDA is required to issue in the Federal Register to help inform as part of its regulatory process. That's something that the normal public health community might not be able to appreciate or access or have time to look at. And so what we're doing is working to help distill information in a usable way for the public health community. We are also working really hard to engage the public health community in the federal regulatory process. So you'll see on our website we have information about how you can take action and comment on guidance documents that the FDA has issued, ways in which you can comment on draft regulations, ways that you can just share information. And we do have some packets of information. They look like this. We don't have enough for everybody because we know that not everybody wants paper. So we have some here. We have a lot of materials at our booth as well in the exhibit hall. But all of our information is on our website, and we have a lot of materials, and this is just a sampling of what we have, but you're welcome to take it. And so we have things like information sheets about how to tell the public health story to the FDA. So, you know, getting engaged in sharing information about what you're working on to the FDA. So we want to inform, we want to engage, we want to support what the FDA is doing, and so we, like I said, we have filed friend of the court briefs in litigation where the federal regulations have been challenged. But we also want to push the FDA. While we're supportive and we appreciate what barriers the FDA is dealing with and trying to overcome, we feel like there was a lot of excitement when the Tobacco Control Act passed in 2009, and we feel like we were let down. The FDA has done a good job of meeting its statutory requirements, but there's a lot more that could be done and should be done and needs to be done because tobacco use is so devastating to public health. So we are trying to also not just explain what can be done and giving people opportunities to comment on existing regulations, but also we are, for example, preparing citizen petitions. So we are preparing to petition the FDA to take certain actions. And we will be posting information on our website about that because we'd like people to follow up on what we're doing. And if we submit a petition and it's something that you could comment on and explain why you think that that would be a good thing too, that helps in our efforts to engage the FDA. So we have a number of resources on our website that you might find useful if this is something that's interesting to you. In addition to the things that I mentioned of just commenting on existing regulations and guidance documents and submitting petitions, and we do have a publication that kind of explains the citizen petition process for those of you who aren't familiar with that. We also would like to encourage the public health community to share information about your state and local experience with the FDA, and you can do that by commenting on regulations and guidance and petitions, But you can also just submit that information to the FDA Center for Tobacco Products. So what would be helpful, we think, to help inform their efforts is to share information about your surveillance activities at the state and local level. And so what, you know, if you're seeing things that look like they might be a violation of law, or they're just things that are bad that bother you, or you have data about certain types of things that are happening in the retail environment, or your youth or adult use data, things like that, you can share with the FDA Center for Tobacco Products. You can also share information about different policy options that you've pursued and how effective they've been, or things that you might have done a little bit differently. So also your evaluation data as well, but information related to implementation issues or enforcement issues that you had, anything that might help inform the federal process so that you can have a more comprehensive tobacco control effort. And then a number of you do have a research perspective in tobacco control. So those of you who have research data, you can submit that not only in response to a draft regulation or draft guidance or something like that, but you can share your research information with the FDA. And for those of you who, I mean, all of you really come from this academic perspective, commenting on federal regulations is not a peer-reviewed process, so you can share preliminary data that you have. So if you have some information that hasn't quite yet been, you know, you've got a hunch about something, you can share that information. They know how to process that. They know how to draw conclusions or not draw conclusions about what you're submitting. But any information that you have, you should feel free to share, because I need to tell you that the tobacco industry does not go through the same rigor that you are going through to think about tobacco control issues. And they are not hesitating to submit anything to the FDA. And they are twisting things, and I'll just say, I mean, they have their interests that they are trying to protect. And we were just reviewing information that they submitted to the FDA Center for Tobacco Products, where they're giving an incomplete story about the products and an incomplete story about their role and their responsibility with respect to tobacco products. And so we need to call them out on it and make sure that enough information is in the regulatory record so that when the FDA does act and their actions are challenged by the tobacco industry, which all of them have been so far, there is a good regulatory record to support what they're doing, and so a court will better uphold that. So that's just a little bit about what we're doing. And I hope that if you don't already get our newsletters or alerts and you're interested, that you'll let us know. Again, we've got a booth, stop by and see us, but you can either sign up on our website, or you can talk to me or my colleague Joelle, who will be speaking next, or Desmond, who is over there. And so, thank you very much.